For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Before we get going with today's show, we're brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside Hard Iced Teas, Hard Lemonades, Hard Half and Halves. They're all delicious. More flavors coming up all the time, so check those out. And brought to you by BetOnline. It's your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, UFC, golf, NBA playoffs, everything you can think of. You could probably bet on the NBA draft if you wanted to. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place all your wagers, including live betting in your favorite casino and card games. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember, use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, let's get to the podcast. What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm Matt Moderno. He's Jihadi White. Since the last time we talked, the Wizards have won the number two or earned the number two pick in the 2024 NBA draft. Jihadi, what's your just sort of initial reaction to that? How'd you feel seeing that announced during the draft show?
I'm happy for it. I'm glad. You know, it's good. It's good for the fans. It's good for the organization, for the team, to know that we have a top pick like that this season. So, you know, you got a chance to pretty much probably get the pick that I think that we should have got anyway. I think the number two pick would fit our team the best anyway, Zach. So.
It's more pressure to pick number one, I feel like, too. Like, that's a little...
That's what you sign up for. Yeah. I mean, you can't tell me any player doesn't want to be number one in the draft. Sure. That's a goal you go out for, but it is pressure. And you've seen how much being the pressure of number one, how many players could not handle that.
It's pressure on a front office too. I mean, like, you got to get that pick right. If you take the number one guy, it's fans are more likely to judge you missing on a number one pick than number two, for whatever the case may be.
True. It's true. But if we got the number one pick, would you switch it around?
Oh, I would happily take it. It's a good pressure to have, but.
Would you take Alex?
So that's really the question, right? I was talking to somebody that was at the combine this week, and they were mentioning that several folks with teams were telling them, like, I don't know, man, Alex Saar doesn't really look as bouncy and springy, as athletic as we thought. I don't know if he's tired at a long season or he put on a little too much weight, or maybe just he doesn't really have to give a shit because he's probably going number one or two at worst anyway. So how hard do you have to do the athletic testing? But it is a data point if teams are starting to do the, I don't know. And then the Hawks, who have the number one pick, their front office is currently in France right now watching Zachary Richaud play a playoff game. So
really,
you know, they're going to at least do their due diligence on one of these other guys. And you had Stephen Castle, you know, sitting at the combine, knocking down three-pointer after three-pointer. It's going to be interesting just to see, you know, if any of these guys can kind of take that spot away from him. But I think safe money is Sarr goes one. I don't know. Would you take him one if the Wizards had ended up there?
No.
Okay. You would go with Richaud or one of the...
Richaud. I would, you know, yeah. And that would be me personally, that would probably be a lot on the organization to be able to make sure that's the right pick.
Mm.
But it's the right pick that fits the Wizards.
Okay. Why, what makes you say that? Like, is it something like his position, his style of play, his...
Yeah,
European?
All the above, his position, the style of play, Kuzma is more of a vet now.
Hmm.
You know, he's a established vet now, so
sure.
You know, he's more on top of the hill. His peak yep. is already there. We're not going to get more Kuzma than Kuzma
mm-hmm.
already has given us.
Yep.
So to me, he's a guy that could come in to learn a lot from Kuzma, watch Kuzma play, get a lot of floor time immediately, get a lot of insight with a Kuzma style. But yep. also, he's a foreign guy that play in a foreign game, which comes with a completely different style. But in all, I think he could be that next franchise guy.
No, I think so.
It's just pretty much a quick role replacer with, you know, him and Kuzma at the end of the day.
Yeah, right. You let Kuzma stick around long enough to kind of help mold him. You let Denny have some input there, you know, and they kind of take the best of those more established players and hopefully move in that direction. I keep hearing stuff about fit. Like, realistically, 95% of this roster will not be here by the time the Wizards want to be good. Or are trying to be good. So fit is just sort of irrelevant. And I think any of these like long athletic switchable wings, you can literally never have too many of those guys on your roster. Like, we've never seen a team where it's like, you know what they have too many of? Really athletic switchable players who can all pass, dribble, shoot. The teams that are good have a bunch of those guys. I mean,
yeah, right. But you can make a mistake with that too, thinking you have that when you don't. I feel like the team that I've seen kind of try to do that was Detroit.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they also have like eight centers on the roster. Too.
Right. So to me, it was too many same type of guys.
Yeah.
Right. So you couldn't really play ball to put them. And you thought you was getting positionless guys, but it was just, even though you have that those switchable wings, they mm-hmm. still had to be versatile.
Sure. Yeah, that's the biggest
reason. They had their own dynamic as a player.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, so in the chat here, Dasan is asking, how would Bilal and Richaud fit together? I think, honestly, I think Richaud is like ahead of Koulibaly as a scorer right now. So I think that's probably where you'd lean on him. And you've got, you know, GMs anonymously telling Woj that they think that Richaud can be a Jaden McDaniels level defender. That's what you want from Koulibaly. So you're starting with a baseline of here are 2 6-foot-7, 6-foot-8 guys that are long, athletic, switchable, can both handle the ball a little bit. Koulibaly, more of a theoretical shooter at this point, but you want to see more of his playmaking instincts at this point. I think Richaud is less of a creator for others at this point too. So, you know, I think they kind of pair nicely together, to be honest. You can play them 2 through 4 and let them guard 1 through 4. I think that's awesome.
I think they pair well, too. And I think one puts perfect pressure on the other.
Mm-hmm.
One puts pressure.
Mm-hmm. Pushing each other.
Make the other become a better player defensively.
Yep.
And then the other puts pressure Ricochet puts pressure on Bilal, saying, okay, now you have pressure to have to be more of an offensive threat.
Yep.
I think it works well. I also think it's very marketable. Reason is they're from the same, you know, from the same country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a mark, you know, I think that's a good marketing tool.
Sure.
You know, and obviously they're going to have a new marketing team there because they have a lot of marketing information to work with there, you know? Yeah. So I like it. I like it. And I also think that it'll fit well. It should fit well because all the elements that line up that don't usually line up,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're both, they're kind of polar opposites, but both fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for as one is more inclined defensively and one more inclined offensively. So, let's see.
I like that they're both from the same country, too. And I think if they like each other, I would do that kind of homework, too. If they've got some, like, blood feud going back 10 years, maybe it's a little different. But I think, you know, if there's some familiarity there, they've played on some under 19, under 18 teams, presumably, in the past. I think that's a good thing. Also, there's like a reasonable percentage of the Wizards fan base that just hates the idea of drafting an international player. And I think a lot of them kind of came around on Koulibaly. But they're still like, oh, my God, we can't take another international guy. For me, the Wizards operate like a mid-major team. And unless you're Boston or L.A. or whatever that brings in these big-time free agents, the best way to get good players and keep good players in a city is to draft them. And I think we've seen a lot of the international guys are less like oriented to, I have to get to the biggest city possible. Like Jokic doesn't seem to need out of Denver. Giannis doesn't seem in a big hurry to get out of Milwaukee. Now they've also helped lead good teams, but those guys, you know, Dallas and Luka, like those guys seem okay staying where they get drafted and being faces of an organization. If you can build this like young French core, DC's a pretty international friendly city. You know, Porzingis like being here. Denny likes being here. Like you've got a good track record of that. I actually think you can use that to your advantage of they'll come here and like to be here. And that's maybe a better chance at retaining these guys when they're ready for their second, you know, contract and things like that.
Well, it's if I'm an international player, I look at America as America.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know what the big cities are. Because sure. The big cities are famous all over, just like the big cities in Europe are famous all over, just like the big cities in France are famous all over.
Right.
But if I go to some little town, a town in France I never heard of to play professional sports,
sure.
I'm going to be okay with that.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know about the city. I don't know if it's the size of Louisville, Kentucky, or the size of Denver, Colorado, you know, and it's a surprise. So that's the good thing about international players. When they come here, the city is the city. Everything is new,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not jaded like Americans are jaded with cities. Like, if I'm an American player and they say, okay, you're getting drafted to Milwaukee, you know, we're going to trip about Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee may be something that reminds them of where they're from. Not bad, right? You know? So that's one thing about the international players. That's one thing why they don't mind being in main cities. And then you got to realize the NBA is the epitome.
Mm-hmm.
If they were playing mostly pros, they were already pros overseas.
Sure.
So now they're at the epitome top level of being a pro. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter the city. It matters that they reach that stage. And then, I mean, if you think about an international city, outside of New York, does it get more international than D.C.?
Exactly. You want good French food? There are places to do that in D.C., you know? Like, that doesn't hurt.
I mean, it's culture all over this. It's a culture all over D.C.
Yep. No, I think that's something you got to use to your advantage, right? Like, I mean, you're more likely to get a good French meal here than you probably would be in, I don't know. I was going to slander a city, but exactly.
Man, it's all type of French food.
Yeah.
They've got a brasserie on every corner.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was debating like slandering Orlando or something like that, but I don't need any Magic fans mad at me. But
yeah, you might need to calm down on that one.
Yeah, take exactly. Take it easy. But DC is great. So hopefully that that helps them out too. So just kind of the roundup here of post-lottery mock draft picks for the Wizards. John Wasserman at Bleacher Report had them taking Risa Shea. The ESPN mock draft, the Draft Express guys have them taking Risa Shea. The Athletic, Sam Vecenie, has them taking Stephon Castle. Yahoo has Risa Shea. SB Nation has Topic. Tankathon has Alex Saar falling to them. CBS has Castle. The Ringer has Klingon. Donovan Klingon out of UConn, who we haven't mentioned yet. USA Today has Risa Shea. Sports Illustrated has G League Ignites Rond Holland. Sporting News has Topic. I don't know. I got to figure out exactly how to say that at some point here. And Fox Sports has Risa Shea. So it's a pretty small pool of names. So I ran a poll over on Bullets Forever and just said if the Wizards stay at number two, which I think is probably what's likely at this point, and Alex Saar goes number one, who should they take number two? So Risa Shea got 30% of the votes. Donovan Klingon got 19% of the votes, which was surprising to me personally. Castle got 18%. Topic got 15%. Next, was a tie between Reed Sheppard from Kentucky with 5% and Rob Dillingham from Kentucky with 5%. Matas Buzelis and Ron Holland, both from the G League Ignite, each got 3%. And Colorado's Cody Williams got 2%. So overwhelming favorites there amongst Wizards fans are Risa Shea, Klingon, Castle, and Topic. And I think that kind of aligns with what we heard from the major mock drafts here too. So if it's not Risa Shea, let's say he goes number one, would you take Castle or would you take Saar number two?
So my thing is this. I've been hearing a lot about Castle more and more and more.
Sure.
He must have done something in these camps or something because, you know, they had him projected, what, 5 or 6, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
And now it's starting to be a lot more buzz of him kind of going much higher than 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Is that something that he showed, you know, in these individual workouts, that he shows something that say, okay, we're now considering you much higher?
I think it's a combination of things. So he was a little quiet during parts of the regular season in college basketball because, you know, he was the freshman on a veteran ish team and kind of the fifth offensive option, honestly. But you get to the Final Four and he has like a 16-point game and a 20-point game, you know, as a freshman on the biggest stage. I think that started to get him in that, like, okay, now we go from 6 to like 3-4 kind of convo. And then when they did these combine measurements, first of all, I don't know how the NBA screwed this up as bad as they did, but they started releasing measurements for guys that were for the wrong guys. So they originally took Providence point guard Devin Carter's measurements and posted them next to Castle. And so people had asked me, because I had seen Castle kind of up close a couple times here now, like how tall I thought he was. And I said, oh, like 6'4" at minimum. And then they posted it and they said he was 6'2" without shoes. And I think a lot of people lost their shit initially of like, oh my God, he's, you know, you can't take him number two now because he's only 6'2". But they've since amended that, and they said he was 6'5" without shoes. So,
oh, really?
If you project him as a point guard, or at least you know, a more on-ball player, and he's now 6'5", I think that helps his stock considerably. And then also in the shooting drills of the combine, he performed pretty well. And they've slowly started to leak more and more things about, like, well, he actually shot pretty well in practice all year. The team was surprised he didn't shoot better. He said he was surprised he didn't shoot better. I think more people have gone and watched him in high school where he was more of an on-ball kind of lead creator type. So if he's an undersized wing, you know, maybe he's only in the 6'7" range. Now if he can be a point guard full-time and he's an elite defender and you actually think he can shoot it, it's probably a little easier to sell yourself on him being worth it at the number two pick, I think.
Well, that height just helps him out a lot anyway. Because yep. Now you're going from a small guard to a mid-sized guard.
Yep.
Right. And the larger guards are always more appealing.
Right.
And especially being who he is already.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's so, yeah. I if it's not Ricochet, I'm not getting ready. I'm not going too far. Mm-hmm. I'm not going too far what's already projected.
Sure.
Yeah, I might just go for Alex.
Yep. I think so. I mean, it's a safe, I think he's a safe pick, right? Like, he's a big switchable for big lob threat with some potential to create a little bit for himself and others and potential to shoot it. Like, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. I mean, and it's needed.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, look at, well, it would be a good example a week or two ago. May not be the best example now. Look at Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, you have some versatile bigs out there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you have, some good scores. We don't have dynamic scoring. So that's the issue. We have good scoring, but we don't have a dynamic score. So, like, it wouldn't be bad if you got a guy, if you had a Anthony Edwards type.
Yeah, I would take that.
Yeah.
So the thing with Sarr, too, like, I think where we've seen...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
In the last couple games, like Minnesota get hung up, is they're getting exposed a little bit with the fact that Gobert has to be a drop coverage big only. And I think that's the value that Sarr brings, is he can move his feet a little bit, and he is quick enough to at least survive in front of guards for stretches. So maybe you can just kind of like hedge some ball screens and things like that, and he can recover, and he doesn't have to be exclusively a drop big. Maybe he can soft switch, like, or maybe he can just immediately switch. Like, so I think that versatility he gives you on defense is something that's really valuable. But it's you know, there's still some limitations there. And this is one of the questions that we got asked to talk about here a little bit. And one of our listeners, Noel, wanted your take on this too. I guess on the Bill Simmons podcast, he mentioned that a GM told him that, again, this is like a historically bad draft, but like basically none of these guys this year would have gone in the top 10 last year. So basically this draft starts at where a typical draft would be, around 10. I don't know. Any thoughts or reaction to that?
It depends on your perspective on the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a maybe, considering how guys are so spaced from each other in the recent drafts, where the number one is so much better than the number three, or the number three is so much better than the number five. So the levels of the players are, but these are still the best players out there. Mm-hmm. The thing about this draft is these players are now so close and equally ranked, pretty much. So
yeah,
one is not too far from the two. Number six in the draft or number seven in the draft is not that much far comparable from number 16.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So which makes it. But doesn't mean it's a bad. It doesn't mean that it's an awful draft. It just means that it's a lot of equally yoked players.
Mm.
So it's about how you look at it. Yeah, it's not those dynamic superstars.
There's no Wembanyama in this year's draft.
No Wemby. There's no, yeah. You know, there's no Kobe. There's no LeBrons.
Yeah.
But it may be some Jokic. It may be some. You know, those mid tier players that make turn out to be something.
Yeah, they grow.
Tyrese Haliburton's, and maybe some Tyrese Haliburton's in there.
Yeah.
So, and that's how you have to look at this draft. Mm-hmm. So now, you said, okay, you just so I think this draft, you said, I'm trying not to lose, mm-hmm. trying to win.
Sure.
But definitely trying not to lose. So, which means that just because I get this guy that's number eight, and I'm trying to win, may not be the best pick just because he's ranked number eight.
Yeah.
It's maybe that guy who's ranked number 12 or number 13 that fits much better with my team. Mm-hmm. And I could see he has a lot of nuances in this game that I can bring out and I can help grow.
Yeah.
And to mm-hmm. me, that's how you got, I think you approach this draft differently than you would any other draft. Because if you approach it the same way, you could lose out because you've taken the wrong perspective in this draft.
I'm actually really with you on this one. And normally I'm like, if you're a rebuilding team, take the biggest swing possible and be damned. But this one, where there isn't that maybe superstar, obvious superstar high-end potential, just getting a dude that you know can be like a solid player for you as the floor, but has room to grow into a better player. Like, if worst case scenario for Risa Shea, he's Otto Porter 2.0, as people keep pointing out to me, it's still not a bad pick to me. I would take that out of this draft. If Castle, you know, at a minimum, is just a really good Derek White kind of defensive guard, you know, who can move the ball around a little bit and score in spurts, I'm not mad at that either. And if the ceiling is, well, but if he shoots it, now all of a sudden he can be, you know, whatever that next tier up is. Those are the kind of guys that appeal to me. I think Sarr is pretty safe for that same reason. You know, worst case, he's Clint Capella on defense with a little more offensive ceiling. So, you know, that's where I'd go. But there's some boomer bust guys I would kind of steer away from personally.
Right. So that's my thing. Boomer bust guys, I stay away from. I would go in this draft understanding that all these guys are projects.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be prepared for a project, and we have to be willing to work the project.
Yeah.
Right? So if I know my team is set up to work the project, what's the best project can we work?
Yep. That makes sense. And I think Wizards GM Will Dawkins agrees with you. I got a couple quotes here that just really support, I think, where we were just going. And he said, there are multiple all-stars in this NBA draft. We'll likely just have to wait a few years to see which ones really pop. And I think that's, you know, to your point. And he also said, this is a deeper draft. There's probably not the same level of instant gratification that you could see in year one. But if you really really dive down and have some patience, these players are going to be pretty good players. And he said, we aren't looking for instant gratification with our pick. We're looking at who's going to be the best pick in 3, 4, 5 years time. So they know that. They know that this is a long-term play for them. And they seem committed to that. And also Ted Leonsis supported that too. He said, we're not going to be a great team for a while, so we should have some high picks for the next couple of years. So
yeah,
I was worried Ted would be the guy to get impatient after 2 years of a rebuild and say, we need to sell more tickets. But if he's saying stuff like that on record, he's usually pretty good at doubling down on the stuff he says publicly. So they're all on the same page about this is for the long-term best interest of the organization. So I think that helps a lot too.
It's the process. Yeah. I mean, the Witters, I think when they brought in the new front office, they sat down and they understood, hey, this is a project and this is the process of the project. This is the mission, right? So now it's about how long the mission is going to take, and to make sure that we make this mission correct. We do it correctly.
Yep.
And so, and they're following what they're doing. They're following the game plan. And there's nothing wrong with that. They understand the game plan. Ted just told you now, hey, the game plan is still on. The game plan is not just it's 1 year turnover. Now, if we can get something good, great. But then also what I heard too is we're not going to try to be the best team we can be now on purpose too.
Exactly.
We need another top.
We're running it back next year. So if you want Cooper Flag. Next year.
So that's the only thing I saw when I read that, they're going to try to. They don't want to have the best year next year.
Yeah, we're in for another.
And with the group they have.
Yeah, I think so.
Now that's another thing I realized. Oh, okay. So he's kind of letting us know. Oh, we're running it back. So we got to build this. And sometimes to build, you have to destroy certain things on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's get ready for it.
I actually I can live with whatever they do. But I just, we've talked about this a lot. I just like knowing what the plan is. If you tell me the plan, I'm much more likely to buy in. It's the years of what are these guys trying to do, that drives fans nuts. So hearing them say it and then actually kind of the actions match what they're saying is interesting.
I think that's a good angle to be now is being transparent to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
The fans really need it. We're willing to roll with you and grow with you and take these growing pains because we know that they're coming and they're for a reason. As long as they're for a reason, we're good.
Exactly. It's with purpose. Yeah. That's huge.
We need some purpose, some pains with purpose.
Right. Yeah. We're going to suck for a while. It's going to be tough to watch, but it'll be worth it. And it's for a reason. So that was interesting from Ted, I thought. So I'm glad he spoke and he was on the Junkies in the last couple of days. So folks can go find that if they want to. The other piece of this I think is kind of interesting is just talking about next year's team too. So there's been some reporting that's coming around. Mike Scotto over at Hoops Heights said that the Wizards currently slotted at number 2 and 26 are also seeking a third first round pick in this year's draft. So you kind of speculated that Kyle Kuzma could be used as a trade chip to acquire another lottery-ish selection. I've heard that Memphis, who I think is ninth, I don't have it in front of me, but they're potentially in the market for some more win-now players next to Ja. So that will be something to follow. And they also said, lastly, after drawing significant interest ahead of last year's trade deadline, including a near deal that sent him to Dallas, Wizards forward Kyle Kuzma is expected to be coveted again in the trade market by rival teams heading into the draft. So that's another one I think will be interesting to follow if they'll do that. If I don't know, if you got this many people saying that this is a shit draft, do you really trade that? Do you use up all your ammo now? And if it's for next year's draft, is Kuzma really going to be that much less valuable next year in a slightly better draft? I still think teams are going to give you a first round pick for a guy like that. It's do you want it to be this year's first round pick or next year? So I wouldn't be in a rush, but if somebody blew me away with an offer, I would also still consider it. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's my thing too. Is if it wasn't this draft, it would be more considerable.
Right.
Considering it's this type of draft that, which means no matter who Kuzma's go to for that pick, it's a project.
Yeah.
So do you get rid of guaranteed 25 points for a project?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but also, is it something that now, whatever coach we do pick, how that ends up turning out?
Sure.
he has now some guys he can mold. Mm-hmm. Right. Now we can mold this team into whatever. Because now most teams now that are good, the good ones are new, like the OKCs or the
Wolves to some extent.
Or the Wolves are kind of young teams that you can mold it real easy.
Yeah.
They don't have a veteran that's kind of stuck in his way. And now the veteran is leading the team completely different than the coach is leading the team, right? Which I don't see Kuzma as that type.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Kuzma is at the point in his career to where he got to get his.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be tough to give him up for a project. It's nothing that's a guaranteed guy this year. Like, and you are already getting the most guaranteed guy this year.
Mm-hmm.
So anything you get from from a Kuzma trade would be projected less than what you already got.
I look at it this way of like just roster construction for next year too. And they say they want to be bad basically, and that's fine. And they're going to run it back mostly, also fine. But you have Koulibaly, who didn't play an entire rookie season. And he'll basically be a rookie again next year, right? Like he's going to still be pretty raw. You've got Vucevic, who, yeah, we got a little sample size over the end, but it's essentially, you know, his rookie year again here too. So you're going to now have two, you've got number 2 and 26 already. You've got the 51st pick. They seemed reluctant to bring Vucevic over last year too, and have him like thrown into the fire and not get a ton of minutes right away. So it's like, if you've got these 5 young guys, are you going to get them all minutes right away? And not that they couldn't move on from them, but they've signed multi-year deals to Jared Butler and Eugene Amarui and these end-of-bench guys that are also younger developing dudes. I mean, Amarui's 27, but you know what I mean? Like, these not as well-established guys. It's just, how many of those guys are you really going to have on the roster here? So do they get rid of 51? Do they do draft and stash? It's just, coming in with 3 rookies next year, I guess, is what I'm saying, on top of these other young guys they now have to find minutes for. It's a little bit of a tough ask, in my opinion.
It is. But it's about what the project is, what the plan is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, is it to free up some money?
Maybe.
You know, if I can free up money, then now I got these young guys for this year, because we know it's going to be another kind of throwaway year anyway. Mm. Now we have something to play with.
Yeah. Yeah. You could trade other people to take on bad salary for more assets and stuff like that potentially too. So
it's
you can only take so much dead money back too if you're a team though. So if you're trading them out, you're probably taking on a certain amount of shorter term salary. So again, if they get blown away with some deal, cool, do what you need to do. It's one of the situations where I wouldn't be in a rush to do it personally. And I've seen a couple people say like, well, you know, how can we play Kuzma and Denny and Koulibaly and Corey and another forward if they draft one? It's like, they're going to find minutes, and they showed this year they weren't afraid to bring Koulibaly and Vucevic along slowly anyway. So I just don't think he blocks any of your young guys for minutes, you know, between now and the trade deadline either. So you have another option there too.
Right.
Ted Leonsis also said during this interview he did with the Sports Junkies, I don't know how it came up, I didn't listen to the whole interview, they're not my general cup of tea, but he said he would not be interested in drafting Bronny James. I thought that was interesting to say directly out loud. I, as an owner of a team, I don't know why you would comment on that directly, but any thoughts or reaction to that from Ted?
I don't think Ted is the type that just says it out loud. That had to be a question.
I'm sure they asked him about it. I'm just surprised he answered it and said no. that's where coach speak is actually probably good, right? Of like, yeah, no, we'll consider whoever, we're going to take whoever the best guy is. Like, heck no, we're not taking Bronny.
Bronny still has a lot to prove.
Yeah.
I mean, Bronny, before he has to prove he's a good player,
yep,
he has to prove that he's there because he's there.
Mm-hmm.
he's in the combine because he's in the combine.
Right, not the name. Yeah.
He had to prove that he's draftable because he's draftable, mm-hmm. right? It's, so Bronny has a course of just, he has to prove. He has to show and prove a lot. He has to convince people that he's that player,
mm-hmm.
right? So until then, Ted makes a statement now, which is now the statement where he hasn't proved that, for lack of a better word, for the privilege.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of privilege that comes along with him for him to be here. Just like that privilege was helped him get in the McDonald's All-American game, right? Mm-hmm. It's so, as an owner, I'm saying, look, I'm not going to take a player just because of that. Right. But also he's saying there's no way we could get LeBron.
Right. What's the extra value? Oh, again?
Right.
Yeah.
So basically to me, when I hear Ted saying there's no way we're drafting LeBron, we're getting LeBron, Bronny James. I mean, there's no way in hell we can get LeBron.
Right. Sounds about right. Yeah, I was surprised to see that tweet come out. I'm just like, wait, he said what? Why?
He's trying to say, look, guys, take the hope of having LeBron here with the Wizards off the list.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not gonna do the MJ part two where we bring him in and transition right. to part owner. Yeah, I thought that was funny. The other thing, Bleacher Report's Jake Fisher said that the Wizards were once again just one lottery ball away from winning the first overall pick. So missed out by one lottery ball on Wembanyama, missed out on number one this year. I don't know. Does that mean we're due next year? Do you think next year is finally the year where we get the lottery ball luck?
I mean, how many times have we been close and didn't get it?
It seems like a lot, doesn't it?
We do. I mean, usually three times a charm, but you know, right. maybe nine may be a challenge. Who knows? Eight, whatever the time is, because I mean, we're always there, but we never get that lottery ball, and it's tough to get. So, sure. You know, next year, you know, we're past due.
Mm-hmm.
Think we can get it.
Beal was number three overall. Otto was number three overall. That's the last time we picked this high. But the last number one was Wall, and before that was Kwame. So two number one picks in 25 years of being bad. I think the NBA owes us one here at some point.
Oh, they definitely owe us one.
And being number one in next year's draft would not necessarily bother me either. So Julian MC28 said, I'm so confused. Donovan Clingan is 7'2", 20 years old, and has anchored back-to-back college championship teams, but all the chatter is about projects. The Wizards need a center. That's why Sar was such an easy decision. Clingan is a no-brainer to me. Any reaction to taking Donovan Clingan number two overall?
I'm taking my chance on buckets.
Yeah. Right.
I'm taking my chance on buckets. I mean, in the NBA now, centers they're coming back, you know, with the Jokic and the Embiids are now prominent again. But that's rare, and that's few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
The buckets are coming from the perimeter.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm taking my chance on buckets. I'm not taking my chance on the big, you know, I'm not going to waste a pick on rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wasting the pick on protecting the basket, even though I'm a big and like, you know, and that's much needed. That's part of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end of the game, any other day, the NBA game is about the ball going through the hole. And efficiency. Who can give me the most efficient buckets out there? Guaranteed that I know I'm getting 20, 30 a night. I got to have that solid. So if I can line up two or three guys who can give me efficient buckets, I'll fill in the rest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at it this way too. It's just, what's the most positional value with the pick? Like every good team right now is basically playing three wing players, a point guard and a center. So you got to fill three of those kind of spots. You only need the one big. So there's less of your roster that's used overall to bigs. And there are a decent amount of bigs that are available. So one, they're easier to get in free agency. Their skill set is less valued today in terms of the amount of money they typically command, unless they're a generational guy. So if it would cost me $20 million to go get a starting level wing, but I can get a starting level big for four or five, it's easier for me to go out and get a decent free agent big who can fill that role. And I think next year they think between Bagley and Holmes and Vucevic and maybe one other guy, they can patchwork together a solid enough front court that you definitely shouldn't be drafting him for need, because next year we need a center. I think that would be a bad fit. But it's also, Klingon is not without risk, right? He's a 7'2" guy who's had some foot issues before. And, you know, there's some challenges there, but he's not very developed offensively. Like, he's a lob threat necessarily. He's a drop coverage only big. So you've now locked yourself into, we have to play one style and one style only with our potentially starting center. It's just, he limits you too much in terms of a flexibility play, in terms of how you would want, like, style of play. So to me, taking him number two is a non-starter. Taking a big, you know, later in the draft, like, is there that big of a difference between him at two and Deron Holmes at 26, or Eve Missy from Baylor at 26, or one of those kinds of guys? And they're more switchable.
I'm surprised he's that high now.
You know, he was an elite rim protector. I think the Walker Kessler.
Yeah, he was a good player. He played. Yeah. He did a great job for UConn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looked good. But I am surprised he's that high.
I agree. Yeah, it's just not where the league is going. And it's funny, like, you've got, like, John Hollinger of The Athletic, who every year says, like, oh, I would never draft a big in the top 20. And then five of his guys in his top 20 guys are centers. It's like, well, okay. But there just are good players that you can find that fill a similar void. And they may not be quite as good as him, but when they're 23 spots lower in the draft and they're 80% of the value he brings, is that good enough? So it's just about, like, the risk reward and the return you get from that particular pick. So that the floor isn't that much higher taking a guy like him, and I think the ceiling is a lot lower. So that's what I'd
agree.
That's where I'd try to go. I'm glad we're on the same page there. Just real quick question from the chat here.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
One of the best follows on Wizards Twitter, essentially, and also former Bullets Forever writer, my guy Ben here, asked in the chat. He said, "I know this discussion is primarily about the draft, but any thoughts on the lack of development, RE Washington's coaching search?" I don't know. I think you and I have been pretty consistent. I think Keith seems like Keith's the guy here, right? Like that's got to be what's happening at this point.
It got to be, because I don't feel like, I don't hear a lot of.
There's nothing.
Prospect.
There's no interviews, no leaks.
Yeah, I
don't
hear a lot of interviews or prospecting. I don't know. Is it because they know the next season is going to be the same type, so they don't want waste next season on a big name coach yet, right? So okay, let Keith, you know, let him go ahead and hold the fort down for now,
right?
Since he understands, you know, what we're trying to do. Mm. And, you know, at the end of the day, when it's all over, said and done, you know, then we can, when we have the team we really want, when we go look for the coach we really want. I'm thinking that's the process. Because I don't hear them prospecting any coaches or really going out there. I haven't heard any names. It's been pretty quiet. Mm. So I think they're going to stick Keith at least this year, maybe next year. I mean, this upcoming season, maybe the season after.
I'm 100% with you. I think this is like the Brett Brown and Philly thing.
Yeah.
We'll let you survive the process. We'll give you a shot 1 year of, can you do it with the team when we're ready to win again? And then that's it. If you can't immediately show some return,
you would know it. I mean, I don't know what his contract is now.
Mm-hmm.
You would know about a contract. If he gets another one or whatever, how to structure it, it'll kind of tell you what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Like when we hear the terms, it's like, oh, okay, got it. You know, we're going to see him for quite a while, it seems like. And you've heard like Mike Budenholzer and guys like that. They're probably the bigger name guys, like, don't want to come here, and that's not the job. And it makes sense, right? Like those guys don't want to rebuild and start from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, that's, if you're not going to get a big name anyway.
Well, they don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and then you don't want to waste a guy. Even if it's a newer guy that's have possibilities of being a great head coach.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to waste it on the timeline in which your mission is going. You know, it's a project right now. And you're in the early stages of it. You know, you don't. When you can have that guy in the later stages, when you think, okay, now we can start making some moves. Now we can start making an impact with wins and, you know, try to be a playoff team this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. The other kind of news out here floating around, I guess, is, and I don't know how reputable a report this is, but basically something was floated out there that the Wizards will have serious interest in New Orleans forward Brandon Ingram this summer. I guess New Orleans wants to move on from him given how their playoffs played out. This makes no sense to me whatsoever. I actually like Brandon Ingram, but why would you do that when you have limited assets to build around anyway? I just, unless they're going to flip him for Poole or Kuzma or something and try to lock in a younger guy with some upside for a couple of years. I don't know. I just don't see that as being particularly realistic.
What do you think about the trade for Brandon Ingram from Kuzma? Because other than that, it doesn't make any sense.
Whatever the money would have to be, and I'm sure we'd have to give them assets back. So you just really don't have that much stuff to give up or trade.
And if Brandon Ingram is a good player.
Yeah.
But he's not a guy who can lead you to the promised land by himself.
No, he's like a great third option, honestly.
Yeah.
Like maybe two if you have him next to, I don't know, Jokic or something like that. But
right.
Yeah. Okay. So we both don't see that one as being particularly realistic.
It's unique. It's not the, out of all the options you can get, that sounds just like, that wouldn't be one I would even consider. Or why is it a topic?
Right. Where did that come from? If there isn't a little bit there.
Why is it a topic?
That was my reaction as well. And by the way, like some of these things, it's like they report it just to make it seem like they have interest or there's people in the market for them. Maybe one GM does another one a solid and says, yeah, you can tell people we're kicking the tires on it. You know, there's all kinds of like smokescreen type stuff.
Well, that goes out they report that Wizards will have interest in Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. Right now, like kick the tires. So now let's kick the tires on that one. Let's spark some noise on that one. That would be a good one.
I've had a couple of fans ask, the other one that they potentially would put on the market is Darius Garland. Do you think Garland makes sense to go out and trade assets for right now if you're the Wizards?
It'd be tough. What are you going to do with Poole?
I think that would be a very undersized defensive backcourt of two guys who kind of need the ball. And it's the reason Garland wants out is because he doesn't want to play next to a ball dominant guy like Mitchell is playing next to a higher usage couple guys in Washington and upgrade.
I mean, Garland to be more than a man. I mean,
yeah, I would hope so.
Right. The amount but then of what shots do you do with that Poole? He gets.
Yep.
Quadruples, you know?
Yeah.
But you still got it. You're going to have the smallest backcourt ever.
Yep. I just got to do it in the chat here. From Muhammad, why did you ignore my comment, believe in Wizards? Just because I'm a Denny Stan, I said I was not toxic, but your toxicity and negative bias towards us shows largely. I'm unfollowing you. Look, man, we weren't talking about Denny. This is not the Denny Avdia podcast. We've literally spent 30% of the season just raving about how amazing Denny was. We called him the best player on the team. They called him, you know, the MVP of the team. We haven't hit that much in the chat today because it's already been 50 minutes and we still have a rundown of stuff to get to. It's not intentional. We do our best to be interactive. If you talk about a bunch of stuff that's totally off topic, we're not going to get to it. If you need to unfollow, you do what's the best for you. But I'm sure there's a Denny Avdia only podcast out there for you. We love the guy. He was great. Notice we didn't want him to be traded out of here. So just move on then, if that's what you need to do. For the other folks in the chat, really appreciate the discussion. You guys are having a big convo. I'm following along with it as we go here. But, you know, there are certain things we'd like to hit on while they're topical and relevant. And I think we're going to have plenty of opportunity you know, to respond to some of these things, you know, throughout the summer here and have more engaging sections. So, you know, we'll do what we can. It's how it works, man. I don't know. No matter what you talk about, someone will always find fault in it.
Hold up. So he was upset that we didn't speak on Denny today.
Correct.
As much as we've spoken on Denny all season.
That's correct. He's probably never listened to the show before. So.
Hey man, you know, appreciate you listening, but nice to meet you, nice to know you. Yeah. You know what can you do? That's when you gotta listen all season.
Yeah, exactly. Tune back in. This has been probably pro Denny Avdia podcast that you can find all season. So yeah.
Especially me.
Yeah, you have been nicer about everyone on the team than I have. I'm the negative one. So just it's all my fault. If somebody doesn't like something that we say on the show, it's that's all me.
What it is.
Speaking of people that are actually overrated, Bilal Coulibaly doubled down on his comments that Pascal Siakam is overrated. He said, I watched the film. I know what he was about to do when he was going left, spinning around, going right. I was like, yeah, this was the easiest superstar to guard. Bilal, man, fuck, shots fired. I love it. Because that's an up-and-coming team that the Wizards are going to have to match up with the next couple years. So
that sounds personal.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like,
it's more than the business we know.
Yep.
Now, is he right? Is he wrong or right? He's right.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam hasn't really blossomed his game as much as I thought he would. By now,
yeah,
he's been able to get away with some sophomoric it's basketball moves, fine, you know, sure. The counter spin, you know, but it's he's right, But he's been not being able to get away with it this long.
Yeah.
He hasn't added more versatility to his game.
Right.
Right. And yeah, he's pretty much an easy scout, but other than he's active. So his active body helps him out, you know, to stick around the league because
he plays pretty hard, you know.
Much versatility. Just like, but for Coulibaly to say that, it's something personal. Somebody said something or something happened on the court or something. Who knows? It probably go back to some, you know, I know. So they both are African descent, right?
I think so. That's what I was wondering. Siakam is from Cameroon originally. Maybe there's some bad blood from something in their past.
Yeah. And Cameroon is a French country in Africa, right? I guess. Yep. Yeah. So. Go back deeper than this, man.
Yeah.
Somebody knows somebody's girl.
That's what I was wondering. That was my first thought.
Somebody knows somebody's girl. There's some Drake Kendrick stuff going on with them too.
Yep.
But hey, I like it. I like that he's not even willing to talk trash and really willing to throw shots like that. You might have something in you that I haven't seen yet. I
know that
even Kill demeanor meant there was something behind the scenes, behind that look, you know, the dog in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, hey, you know what? I don't give a shit. And he did kind of suggest after that he thought they were kind of baiting him into talking about it. It's just pretty
funny. Because, you know, he is a student of the game.
Yep.
Even right now, to know his homework that well.
Right.
They bring him a player, he can analyze all his moves. You know, and that's what makes him such a great defensive player. Because, you know, film is his cheat code.
That's the best part of this, right? Is if you're Coulibaly and you're talking about, I'm studying these other better guys in the league, and that's how he's spending his offseason, that's what I want to hear. Also, good news, Coulibaly is fully out of his cast and back to basketball activities, it sounds like. So that's pretty badass too. So hopefully he's in the lab right now and got a full offseason to just like work on his craft. And I don't mind hearing stuff like this from the Rook though.
Oh yeah, me neither. I love it. I love it.
All right. So
I'm waiting to hear Siakam's response.
Yeah, I haven't heard that yet either. Too,
he better say so.
I think so. It would be un-NBA like for him to not reply.
It would be. I mean, honestly, it would, but it wouldn't. I mean, Siakam's a vet.
That's true.
And for him to give Coulibaly that much attention.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Publicly.
Why react to him?
Well, I think you should react. He should just wouldn't do it. I mean, I would love to see it publicly.
Yeah.
Okay. But as a vet, telling the guy you need to earn your stripes before you can speak on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to do it a certain way.
Yeah, I'm with it. Jahadi, on the AAU scene, I think you've probably seen both guys, but Dasan asked in the chat, would you want Cooper Flagg next year with the number one pick potentially or Ace Bailey? Thoughts on either or both guys?
I like Ace. Ace is a very versatile player, good player, but I'm going Cooper all day. Reason being is you can't replace Hart. Can't replace a dog. Can't replace somebody that has that Russell Westbrook in him.
Right. A little chip on his shoulder from day one.
I mean, that doesn't come around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more rare than, you know, that's a very rare gem to get in the NBA. A guy like that. And with a motor.
Yeah.
That just talks trash. That's skill level is high.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody has a high skill level. What separates him? Sure. Super Cooper Flagg separates himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no comparison. I don't feel like he's compared to there's a comparison to any other player. It's a lot of other top players coming out, but he's beyond compare.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. The fact that Brian Scalabrine story from the offseason about him dogging Bradley Beal in a one-on-one game. It didn't end up being true, according to Flagg, but the fact that people believed it could be true says a lot about him and how he rolls, that, you know, like, oh, this is a believable story that Cooper Flagg was willing to talk some shit to an NBA All-Star, like, that he's got that kind of shit to him. You can't pass on stuff like that.
Cooper Flagg has that type of personality and that passion,
yep,
and that motor and that, aggressive passion, mm-hmm, to change a complete locker room.
Yeah.
And so that you can't just look at him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at him as a complete entity of all the facets he could pour into your team.
Exactly.
Right? That's going to be, which a big part of that now would be accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing about the NBA team, a lot of these players, it's only so much accountability that the locker room holds, unless you're one of those type of players like that, like type of coaches like Pop or, mm-hmm, you know,
the Spolstra,
back in the day, coaches, Phil Jackson, yeah, Pat Riley, exactly, where accountability just is the system holds, mm-hmm, the accountability.
Yeah.
But Cooper Flagg by midseason or that sophomore, that next year, he's going to hold people accountable. He's going to, I mean, to the point, he's going to be talking trash to you on, and see, so that's something you can't replace.
Yeah.
Because he wants to play that hard. He wants to play every game like it's his last game.
Yep.
So he's going to now, I demand this from you. I demand this from you. Why, mm-hmm, aren't you doing this? Why? Now, that's the guy, those are the rare guys you can't, you know, that's what we've been asking for the Wizards.
Yeah. You need the culture building kind of guys.
The culture building.
And also, I think the core you could build with Denny is a defensive-minded guy. Koulibaly is a defensive-minded guy. Like, those are probably the only two players on the roster right now that are locked in the long term. Maybe we say Vucevic, you know, we'll see. I think so. He's more offensive-minded. But, like, your starting caliber long-term guys here can both play two ways. And I think that's what you get with Cooper Flagg. And it's not that Ace Bailey can't. I think, you know, from day one, that Flagg is going to come in and not like sleep on that end of the floor. And
right,
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, his mission, all guys come in with a mission.
Mm-hmm.
But Flagg mission is going to be more maniacal.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. The Duke defense they're going to be hard as shit for people to score on. That's going to be fun to watch. Good luck to the rest of the ACC trying to score on that team.
Yeah, true.
John, I think that's all I got. Any closing thoughts here?
No, man, not at all. We'll get with you.
Good stuff, everybody. Celebrate. We earned it. We endured a tough, rough NBA season, but got rewarded with a top two pick. So that's always worth celebrating, in my opinion. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit that like button for us, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. We really appreciate it. We're brought to you by betonline.ag, and we will catch y'all next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.